you got a number of songs written by soldiers who served in Vietnam. How did you get a hold of those?
I need to give a lot of credit to another colleague, Lydia Fish, Dr. Lydia Fish. She's at the University of Buffalo. She became interested in this music. She put together something called the Vietnam Veterans Oral History Project. She tracked down a large number of mostly pilots and became friends with them, was able to get hold of tapes of shows they had put on, things that they had done while they were in country. She is the person behind a very powerful CD called In Country. I think there are 30 tracks or so, which are all by individuals who served in Vietnam, who in the 90s got together and gave concerts for each other to showcase this music. One of the concerts that was particularly well received was on Austin City Limits. It was hosted by Chris Christopherson.
Himself a veteran.
Yes, a veteran, although not in Vietnam. He was a Vietnam-era vet who did not go to Vietnam. Lydia has been the driving force to bring this music together, to analyze it, to put people in touch with each other. And without her help, those songs would never have appeared. The reason that we have such a rich group of songs from the Vietnam era is because virtually everyone had a tape recorder. Doug will remember that there were hobby shops or hobby clubs on base. I'm sure the Tonsonute and Long Bin had them, where you could tape things. But a lot of people had portable tape recorders. They took them with them, and they composed some of their own music.
That's a great point, Hugo. And there's a really poignant video from CBS News. John Lawrence, the great CBS News reporter, wrote a book called The Cat from Way, an absolutely terrific book about his years that he spent reporting in Vietnam. But there's a wonderful segment where he's with Marines at Khe San, which is one of the worst battles of the war. It was during the early days of the Tet Offensive. And for about 55, 60 days, Khe San was under siege from North Vietnamese. And it was just harrowing and horrible. John is interviewing people there, and they have a couple acoustic guitars, and they start singing, "Where Have All the Flowers Gone?" I mean, it is enough to tear your heart out to watch this scene. But again, it's the power of music. And as Hugo said, since this was 1968, you had a CBS News reporter there. We've captured that, and it's still available.
The fact that they sang "Where All the Flowers Gone," which was written by Pete Seeger,
yes,
a man,
yes,
who had been blacklisted and been through,
yes,
a lot, but was prominent in the protests against the Vietnam War.
Its popular version predates what most people think is the starting point for the Vietnam War, but I thought it had all of the cachet necessary to really kick off. It's the first song on the first CD of a 13-CD set. I felt that that was sort of the beginning point. It was also a tremendous statement, as far as I'm concerned, on the futility of war. What's gained? The song is a cycle that goes from birth to death.
And Hugo, to underscore your point, the number of Vietnam veteran musicians that you have featured in the Next Stop is Vietnam collection, it's really important, and I know it's meant a lot to the Vietnam veteran community. This is one place where a lot of Vietnam vets turned, not only for the comfort we talked about in songs like "We Gotta Get Out of This Place," or "Leaving on a Jet Plane," or "Green, Green Grass of Home," but comprising their own music. And as Hugo said, some of it's angry. Some of it is very visceral. We got a guy from my town here in Madison, Wisconsin, Jim Wonkendonk, who has a song on there that is kind of rough to take, the Claymore Polka. Again, it was therapeutic. It was a way for guys like Jim and others to be able to help process that experience, to maybe work with their anger. And there have been a number of quality Vietnam vet musicians. There was just a piece on NPR the other day about a guy named Kimo Williams, who we've had in our class as a guest lecturer. He's from Chicago. He covered Jimi Hendrix in Vietnam as a GI within an army band. And he's written a thing called Symphony for the Sons of Nam. This is how Kimo got back home. And for a lot of vets, soldiers, musicians, their own music was a way to do that as well.
I think the folk music craze of the early 60s, for a better word, was helpful in that it showed people you could just take an acoustic guitar and you could write a song, and it didn't necessarily have to be about a love relationship. It could be on something topical.
Absolutely.
So that was part of the background, was the rock and roll music of the 50s that was rebellious.
If we're talking about songs by veterans, songs that reflect back on their experience, another person needs to be brought up here, and that's Country Joe McDonald, singer of Country Joe and the Fish, who for most people is the man who wrote and sang They Feel Like I'm Fixing to Die Rag, which was a centerpiece of Woodstock. But after the war, Joe became very much concerned with the fate of Vietnam vets, and Joe is the one who I feel is responsible for the fact that Next Stop is Vietnam exists. I had proposed a box set, or at least some CDs of this music, to the record label in Germany, and for 2 years I received no response. But then Joe wrote the same people and said, our vets need to have recognition. They are making music that is telling their story, and someone needs to make sure that this music gets to be heard. Joe and I got in touch, and Joe had collected a lot of songs by Vietnam vets. He turned that entire collection over to me. Initially, he really wanted the project to focus only on music by veterans, but after a long discussion, we agreed that that would be a significant portion of, but not the entire story. There are at least 40 or 50 tracks on this box set that are by Vietnam vets, and most of them had never gotten much public exposure. They may have been heard by family members, but they were either on records or they were on cassettes or they were on homemade CDs, and I was very fortunate to gain access to them and give them a wider audience.
I'd just like to second what Hugo's saying about Country Joe. Craig and I went out and met him, sat in his home in San Francisco, and had a wonderful conversation. Joe, who has been derided quite a bit because of I Feel Like I'm Fixing to Die Rag in some quarters. What people don't know is he was a Navy veteran. He was in the service prior to Vietnam. And he described himself to us. He says, I'm a veteran first and a hippie second. So Joe was more aligned with veterans and their issues and their causes than he was with hippies. He explained to us that he intended Feel Like I'm Fixing to Die Rag as sort of gallows humor, the dark humor that soldiers will share. And believe me, we did in Vietnam, and as soldiers have in other places and other wars. Be the first one on your block to have your son come home in a box. Whoopee, we're all going to die. As that kind of irony and dark humor that soldiers would get. And trust me, a lot of them have. And some of the soldiers, vets that we talked to were some of the most gung-ho, you might describe them as sort of right-wing types, have told us that Feel Like I'm Fixing to Die Rag is a song that they like because they got it. They understood the message.
It was considered an anti-war song. The way Joe presented it at Woodstock made that very clear. And yet by 1970, it was on the lips of troops coming off ships arriving in Vietnam. And as Doug said, it was gallows humor. It was a way to deal with what was potentially facing them, because not all of them were going to come home.
One of the guys that Lydia Fish helped, whom I've gotten to know too, thanks to Hugo, helped connect us with Marty Hoyer. And he was one of those balladeers in an Army Air Assault Unit, helicopter unit, in Vietnam called the High-Priced Help. Marty has some wonderful stories doing exactly what Hugo said, and that was he and three other fellows with acoustic guitars taking popular songs, Rock Island Line and
If I Had a Hammer,
some classics,
They Call the Wind
Mariah,
and adapting
the lyrics to fit their situations in Vietnam at the time. That was just another way that music permeated the scene in Vietnam and helped a lot of soldiers to just sort of come to grips with it, laugh at it sometimes, and sing along to it.